We're in Daf Mem Hey Omid Beis, and we're studying the sugya of a different kind of bittul in Chametz, which is not the classic bittul of I declare that all my Chametz is like Afra Diara, but rather a bittul in which I designate my Chametz for a certain function. It's part of a kli, and it strengthens the kli. I intend to leave it there on a permanent basis. And that we had in the case of the Areva. And then you can have a different kind of bittul, where he designates it as a moshav, as a seat. And in those cases, he's not chayv in bir. Then we had a discussion yesterday about the case of an achsadra. And this discussion about an achsadra was in the context of what we call tziruf chatzoi zeisim. So you have a half a zayis of batzeik in the house. You have another half of zayis of batzeik of chametz in the achsadra. If they were two chatzi zeisim in the same bayis, that's called a tziruf. We combine and integrate the two to form one full kezayis, because the assumption is he cleans up his house and he connects and he gathers together all these different pieces of chametz. But what about in the case of the achsadra? Is that considered also part of the bayis? Does it have the same halacha? And the Gemara tells us here on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis that we can speak about an achsadra as shtei batim, or as one bias, zeh bifnim mizeh. And the Gemara leaves this as an open question unanswered. Then we had the case of a pascha ipsa. This loaf of chametz has already begun to spoil. However, although it's not edible for human consumption, it still is roi l'achilas kelev. So it has that in between kind of a status. And we suggested, based on the famous principle in the Gemara in Chulin of Nevela Ruya Liger, Kriya Nevela, Nevela Shena Kriya Liger, Eina Kriya Nevela, that once it's Nifsal Miachilas Adam, it no longer has the status of Macholas Asuros. However, in the case of Chametz, the picture changes. And we mentioned the name of the Gaonim yesterday and the Rif, that even if you have nifsal me'achilas adam in the case of pascha ipsa, nevertheless you still would violate the iser chametz and the still chiv biur, and that's because it's roi lechamer bo isos acheros, and that gives it the status of cr. Other rishonim would argue that the principle of nifsal me'achilas Adam doesn't apply to chametz. You need nifsal me'achilas kelev, because you have to be mafkia not only the shem ochel, but moreover, you have to be mafkia the shem chametz. And if it's still roi l'achilas kelev, then it has the shem chametz. The braisa that we studied yesterday establishes that such a pascha ipsha, which is edible for an animal, has the status of an ochel, and therefore it's metame bikebeitza, which is the shear of tumas ochlin. However, the braisa quotes a dissenting view of Rabbi Nosson, and he's of the opinion that once it's nifsala meachilas adam, this pascha ipsha, then it's not metame. It's outside of tumas ochlin, and poka shem ochel. So we're going to begin today with Tanur Rabbanan, where we left off yesterday. And you'll count up from, the bottom of the Amud. We'll count up together 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanan. Arevas ha'abdonim. Abdonim miloshan ibud. And Ibud is the Hebrew word for tanning. So these are tanners that they take the hides of animals and they process them through what's called ma'abed, which, by the way, is one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos, but that's not relevant to us today. And he has an areva. Areva is a bowl, and what they do is they fill up the bowl with water, they soak the hides in this bowl of water, because by softening them, it's much easier to do the tanning process. And now, shenosan lisocha kemach, as part of the process, the chemical process of tanning the hides, they add, of all things, flour into this mixture. Now, this has water in it, and it also has hides in it. Oros, with an ayin, oros. The mixture between the flour and the water creates chametz. So nischametz hakemach. But on the other hand, he's not designating it as an ochel. He's using it for the process of tanning. And the Brice establishes that there's a difference between how many days have passed since he put in the kemach. Toch shlosha yamim chayav levayer. Even though this chametz is soaking together with hides, it still is considered chametz until a 3-day period passes. But once the 3-day period passes, then you would say that it's now no longer edible, and during this process of soaking, the chametz becomes nifsal. But toshlo shiyom, if it's within the first 3 days, it has the shem chametz chayv levayer. Even though, again, inside this bowl, you have not only the chametz, but you have soaking the hides. Kodem shlosha yomim, if let's say 3 days before Pesach, let's go back to the 11th of Nisan, so he's got now, he puts in the kemach into this concoction, into this mixture, on the 11th of Nisan. So he's got the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th. He's got more than 3 days before chametz becomes chametz. Eino chayv levayer. Why? Because then we assume that there's already what we call a kilkul hachametz by virtue of the very bad smell. And Rashi says that the kilkul hachametz is not a result of the hide itself, even if he removed the hide, but as long as the kemach is soaking in the areva is the kli that's designated for ibud oros, then the kli itself has such a strong negative odor, a foul odor, that it causes the chametz to be inedible. So that if this process was begun as early as 3 or more days before Pesach, then when Pesach comes around, he's not obligated in beer. He doesn't have to destroy it. That is the view of the Tanakhama, the Brice. Om Rabbi Nosson, Bamed Dvar Amurim, when do you tell me that he's parted from beer because he put in this mixture 3 days plus before Pesach? But in this, within the period of 3 days, he is chayv levayer. That's shelo nosan letocha oros. Avol nosan letocha oros afilu toch shloshi yomim eino chayv levayer. And Rabbi Nosan is of the opinion that this distinction between toch shlosha or before shlosha, according to which within Shlosha Yomim you require biur, that's only because the oros are not mixed in. So all you have is the foul odor, as we said, coming from the walls of the kli itself, the reach kli. But if you have another factor, and that is the oros inside, then the existence of the oros, together with this kemach, together with this chametz, in the same areva, that is mevatel chametz mitoras chametz, simply by virtue of the fact that it's soaking in this bowl together with oros. So whereas the chachamim hold that the existence of the oros is irrelevant, what determines whether it's chametz and chayav bir or not is the shlosha yomim, because the chachamim estimated, they evaluated, that it takes 3 days for the reach hara of the kli to enter into the chametz and remove and undermine the shame chametz, the Torah's chametz. And that's the way the halacha was set up. Toshol shiyomim, you have to be mevirit. But kodem shol shiyomim, you don't have to be mevirit. And it's possible that the chachamim hold that by soaking the kemach in the areva, which has a reach hakli, and you do so 3 days before, that's considered your biur. That is your fulfillment of biur chametz. You now have done something, set up a process by which the chametz is going to receive the smell, the odor of the kli, and therefore that's considered as if you destroyed the chametz. But once you already have chametz entering into this 3 day period, then you need real biur. It's not enough to set up the chametz in such a way that it would smell funny and therefore you mafkir the Torah's chametz. The 3 day period already establishes a chovas biur on this cheftza, which you cannot remove. And Rabbi Nassan has a different view. Rabbi Nassan is of the opinion that it all depends upon whether you can have a process by which the chametz loses its taste. And therefore, if you put in the oros, even within 3 days, which means that you already entered into the 3 day period, you're on the 12th of Nisan, the Chacham would say now the Cheftah is already nitfas in a Chovas Biur. And Rabbi Nosson says, no, we still allow you that time period before the actual Chovas Biur is Chal, to be mafkia, to remove the Torah's chametz by soaking it in oros. Now, I'd like to share with you a note here on this Gemara, and he says the following, that from the presentation of the sugya, especially the way Rashi interprets it as we presented it, it seems that although he had placed the oros into this concoction, which according to Rabbi Nosson is enough, is sufficient to be mafkia the shame the Torah's chametz, nevertheless adayin lo nifsal meachilas kelef, the oros, with all due respect to their very powerful odor, etc., it still is edible to the dog. And how do we know this? Well, keep in mind that we had Rabbi Nosson in the previous brisa, and he was of the opinion that once the pasha ipsha, going back to that case, was nifsala meachilas adam, it's not metami tumas ochlin, meaning pokashem ochel. How much more so pokashem chametz? If it's not even an ochel, you can have something that's metami tumas ochlin, but it's not chametz. But to say that it's not metami tumas ochlin, it doesn't even have the bare bones basic. What else could I add that starts with a B? An entity of a shem ochel, then for sure it's not chametz. And if that be the case, then Rabbi Nosson, in the case of oros, doesn't have to go as far as to say that it was already nifsala miachilas kelev, it's dayenu if it's nifsala miachilas adam, because that's already mafkir the shem ochel, it's not metami tumas ochlin, and hence it's not chayv and beer, it doesn't have a Torah's chametz. And if that be the case, if we're talking about a metzius where it's still edible to a kelev, despite the fact that he added the oros, we now go back to the shitas chachamim, and we can now shed a whole new light on why the chachamim are not impressed with the fact that he added the oros into the concoction, and it's soaking in oros, because still it's roy lachilas kelev, and the chachamim hold that in that state of roy lachilas kelev, it's asur in chametz, meaning it's chayv in biur. And we explain that because of the brisa that we had earlier on this daf of roy lechameh bo isos acheros, and that's the new category, which is not really chametz, but it's called CR, and CR is something which can be mechametz and used as a fermenting agent. That itself gives it the shame isur. Hence, if it's not Posel miachilas kelev, then we understand that he's chayv in biur. The Chachamim establish a whole different halach over here, and that is that the reach hakli, if you placed it in the kli already 3 days plus before Pesach, that's enough to be mafkia the shem chametz. And we have to understand how that operates, because according to the Chachamim, if it's not nifsal miachilas kelev, then it should be included in the Chovas Biur. And here we're saying, Ton Rabbanan Arevas HaAbdonim Shenosan L'toch HaKemach is Toch Shol Sheyomim Chayav Levayer. However, Kodem Shol Sheyomim Eino Chayav Levayer. And that means even though he didn't put Oros in there. So it's not soaking in the hides, and it's only an issue of Reach HaKli. If it's still Roy Lachilas Kelev, then the question arises, why is it Eino Chayev Bibir? And he goes on to say that we should connect our Braisa that we're studying now about the Arevas Abdonim with the Braisa that we had with regard to a Kupas. And that Braisa recorded a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and the Chachamim. According to, just to review, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, in a case of a kupas where he designates the chametz, the batzek, as a chair, as a seat, the halacha is that even if it has a kizayis, nevertheless, it's batel. It's not chametz at all. And perhaps that's what's going on here in the case of kemach, in the Arevas Abdonin. We ask the question, well, wait a minute. If there's no oro soaking in, and the chachamim say that if it's kodem shloshiyomim, it doesn't require beer. But even though, despite the fact that it is roy lachilas kelev, why shouldn't that alone be sufficient to be mechayev him in biur? He has a chovas biur here simply because it's roy lachilas kelev, which we saw in the previous brisa in the case of Pasha Ipsha. And the answer is that perhaps our Tanakama in this brisa of Arevis Abdonim is none other than Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that kupas, no matter what size the chametz is batul mitoras chametz, it's not chayv in biur. Here also, this is parallel to the case of kupas. Why? Because he's using and designating this kemach, this chametz, as an agent for the purpose of ibud oros. It no longer is in the realm of chametz that's meant to be eaten. It's like the chametz kupas of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that's designated as a piece of furniture. Here also it's not a piece of furniture, but nevertheless it is outside the realm of Chometz. But then he says the following, very interesting. Even the Chachamim who disagreed with Rav Shimon ben Elazar in the case of Kupas agreed, if you recall, that if he was Tach Paneh Betit, if after he set up this little seat made out of Batzek, he put on a layer of concrete or some sort of a muddy substance which dries, then it's Eino Chayav B'Biur. Therefore, he suggests, Yesh Lomar, Shagam Tanakama Cholik al Reb Shimon ben Elazar, V'sova Shalo Moil Bitul B'Kupas. In other words, Kupas, designating as a Kupas, in and of itself is not a Bitul to remove the Shem Chometz. Yodu Kan, or Yode Kan, the Tanakama Reb Shimon ben Elazar would agree here in the case of Areves Habdonit. Dekevon shen nesinas ha'oros b'mayim. Initially, he soaked the hides in this water together with the kemach. Again, he took out the hides, but obviously he put it in for some amount of time. I don't know exactly what the minimum amount of time is until it softens up the oros. Havile kitach paneh betit. It's parallel to the case of the kupas with the additional proviso that he added a layer of tit. And that's already considered bittul, even according to the Tanakhama of Rav Shimon ben Elazar in kupas. Hence, our case where he put in the oros into the concoction, even if the oros were taken out after I don't know what time, that's equivalent to toch paneh betit, and that constitutes a bittul. But only if it's going to continue soaking for another period of 72 hours minimum. So it comes out that according to this interpretation, which I'm not sure who he's quoting here, honestly, I think he says, this is Rabbi Elchanan and Kovet Shiurim, if I'm not mistaken, but be that as it may, there are two variables here that seem to combine A plus B. What you have is the soaking in the kli, the kemach with the mayim is soaking in the kli, and it's absorbing that foul odor from the kli. And that's going on for a period of 72 hours. Now, we're going to ask the following question. Is it royal achilas kelev? And the answer is obviously yes. It's still royal achilas kelev. And that's the chiddush of Rav Nosson. Because Rav Nosson is of the opinion that once it's nifsal me'achilas adam, it's paka shem ochel, and therefore in chametz it's not chayv in biur. So why is the soaking process of 3 days sufficient, according to Chachamim, to embrace the position of eino chayv in biur and accomplish bitul mitoras chametz, if it's still royal achilas kelev? So Rabbi Elchanan is suggesting that we have another variable to add to the equation, and that is that at the beginning of this process of soaking, the tanner added the hides themselves. That already is like the case of some of chametz that was dedicated for some purpose, taking it out of the realm of an ochel and doing another action to sort of, you know, tighten the screws, which we saw in the Tanakhama of Rav Shimon ben Elazar in the case of a kupas, where he designates the batzek as a seat, but then he went a step further and he was toch aleh betit. In a sense, really changing the whole designation of this batzek. You know, maybe perhaps before toch aleh betit he could change his mind, and he could decide that he wants to fry it in the, you know, in his frying pan and make latkes out of it. I don't know. But once he was tachale betit, that's final. That's, you know, irreversible. And the parallel case would be putting the oros into the kemach. But again, this is the point that has to be ironed out. You know, you have a combination of two factors. And he writes here, Tzarech Lomash Gam L'Das Rabbi Nosson, Al Yidei Shriyas HaOros, is Nifsal HaKemach Me'achilas Odom V'lo Me'achilas Kelev U'machlokes Rabbi Nosson V'Tanakamahi Hayim Tzarech Levar Chomit She'Nifsal L'Achilas Odom, meaning that it's still Royal Achilas Kelev, and that's going to be the Machlokes Tanoim. Omar Rava, Halacha, Kirabi Nosan, Afilu Yom Echad, Afilu Shah Achas. Now, this gives us a clue as to the ambiguity that we mentioned before. At the beginning of this process, we said he soaked it with Oros. And Rabbi Nosan says that how long of a time period did he leave the Oros in the mixture? Says Rava, one day is enough, or even 1 hour. And now you get the impression that the Chachamim hold you have this absolute requirement of 3 days before Yontif. As we said before, you know, once you enter into the 3 days, that's already the Cheftza, the Chametz is Nitfas, Bechovas Bir. And now you have to undermine the Chovas Bir. To undermine the Chovas Bir, you would have to soak it in Oros. But if you place the Oros into the concoction before 3 days, that's already considered Torah's Bittul, even according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama. And that could reflect, as we said before, the Tanakhama of Shimon ben Elazar in the case of Tochel Ebetit Bekupas. Rabbi Nosson says that I don't care about the 3 day period. All I care about is adding the Oros into the concoction. What is Rabbi Nosson saying over here? You could argue that Rabbi Nosson is saying that the Oros adds such a strong negative element here into the equation that you have not only the Kli, which has a Reach Ra, but now you have the Oros itself, that now the Chometz became Nifsal. Nein. We're saying that according to Rabbi Nosson, the Kelev can still eat the Kemach. But I'll prove it to you. Says Rava, if Rabbi Nosson was talking about soaking the Oros for a full day, then it's quite possible that the full day has that impact of completely, you know, making it a Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, that very profound repercussion. But no, Afilu Sha'achas. Sha'achas is not going to be enough to have such a profound impact on the Batzek, on this mixture of Kemach and Mayim. So what's the Sha'achas? And the answer is that the adding of the Oros into the mixture is already Halacha Bittul, not Bittul because of the lack of a Tam, because again, the Kelev is going to eat it, that's enough of a Tam Chometz to make it into a Shem Chometz, according to Rabbi Nosson. However, adding the Oros is itself an act of Bittul, so to speak. He actively redirects the function of this Kemach. It's no longer in the realm of Chometz. Okay, Rabosai, that completes the sugya, or at least that part of the sugya that we started 2 days ago. But now we want to focus on a different dimension of our Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to postulate an analogy between the laws of Chatzitza and the laws of Bir Chametz. And the Mishnah's language is V'chein le'inyan tuma. That just like with regard to Chametz, the question is, he's got these pieces of batzek that are trapped in the crevices of the areva. Does he want to get rid of them and remove them, you know, prong them out? Or on the contrary, he would rather that they stay, you know, and plug up the crevices of the kneading bowl. And now the Mishnah goes ahead and says that that distinction between whether he want, whether his intention is to take out the Batzek or to leave it there, has the same, is relevant and is kovea the law in the same way, that distinction applies in the same way to Chatzitza. And in Chatzitza, we're going to wonder whether or not he wants to keep this batzek in the tzedek, in the crevices, and then it becomes part of the kli itself, so it's no longer a hefsek, a chatzitza, separating the water of the mikvah from the walls of the kli, because now the batzek is sort of part of the kli itself, or he's makpid, and he wants to get his intention is to take out those pieces of batzek that are trapped in the crevices, because that's not chaz, it doesn't help at all. Let's say it's in the side of the kli, top of the kli, whatever the case may be. And in such a case, since he intends to remove it, it doesn't add anything to his kli, he's makbid on it, and it's a chatzitza. There's only one major problem, which seems to blow up the whole thing, out of, you know, torpedoes the whole analogy here between chametz and as far as beer is concerned, and a piece of chametz as far as whether it's a chatzitza. The Mishnah differentiates between a batzek, which is more than a kezias, and that which is less than a kezias. Meaning, again, it depends on the different lishonos, but let's go according to one lishna, that if there's a kezias b'makom echad, in one particular crevice, there's a full kezias' worth of batzek, then all these distinctions fall off, yechayv in biur, absolutely automatically, even if his intention is to allow the batzek to stay in its place, and it is protect and it is beneficial for the function of the areva, because it has a kezias. And that would apply in the case of Dofnei HaReva. You remember that distinction between the Shulei HaReva, where he's protecting he's preventing the water from seeping through the holes in the crack on the bottom of the HaReva, as opposed to the Dofnei HaReva. In the case of the Dofnei HaReva, we need two conditions in order to be Mafkia the Chovas Bir. Number one, it's got to be Chazi Le, you know, Le Kayem Es HaKli. Right, well, what's the language? I forget.
L'chazek.
L'chazek, is that the language? Just 1 second. I think there was another word. Just 1 second. All right, it's not so relevant. We know what we're talking about, but... Asui, okay. Asui l'chazek. You're right, l'chazek. Asui l'chazek. So that even though it's asui l'chazek, and it helps you during the process of lisha, so that the dough, when it rises, it doesn't end up in these cracks, which are now plugged up by the batzek, by the chametz, but nevertheless, that chazi or asui lechazek is only mafkir the chovas biur if it's less than a kezias. Now that distinction between more or less than a kezias makes sense when you're talking about macholas asuros, because the Torah gives chashivas vachila to a chefta of a kezias. But such a distinction doesn't seem to have any bearing or any logical relevance to the case of chatzitza. Chatzitza should depend upon one and only one factor, and that is kpeda. Is he makpid or is he not makpid? So again, reading the language of the Mishnah of a chen linyan tuma in makpid olav chotzeitz, v'imrotze b'kiyuma areu ke'areva. And the Gemara now wants to clarify this v'chein le'inyan tuma. The word v'chein sounds like we're equating the laws of and the status of the areva when it has these, you know, pieces of batzek stuck in the stockim, and whether or not in tuma we consider it a chatzitza. Is he makpid on the batzek? Is he not makpid on the chatzitz? And all this is being equated to the case of chametz. So the Gemara asks immediately the question, me dummy, how could the Mishnah presuppose an analogy, an equation between the din of the batek as far as Hilchas Chatzitz and Tumah is concerned, and the din of the batek as far as Chametz Linyan Beer is concerned, Hasam, with regard to Chametz, as Macholos Asuros, B'shiura Talya Milsa. We understand that the halach of Beer depends on whether you have a Kezayis or you don't have a Kezayis. A Kezayis of Chametz gives it a certain Chashivus, and if he eats it, he violates the Yisra Achilus Chametz. Hence, he's got to destroy the Chametz. So we understand and appreciate very well the distinction between a Kezayis B'Makom Echad and less than a Kezayis B'Makom Echad. But Hacha, in the case of Tumah of Chatzitza, B'Kapeda Talya Milsa. Everything hinges on one factor. Is he Makbid or is he not Makbid? Does he want to leave the Batzek in the Sedek or does he want to get rid of the Batzek and take it out of this crevice? What difference does it make what the size of the Batzek is? In Hilchas Chatzitza, you have a Kli, let's say a Sheretz fell into a Kli, and now you have to put the Kli into a mikvah. We just have to know if there's a Chatzitza. Now again, I'm not going into the whole distinction between Rov and Makbid and this, that, and the other thing, but fundamentally, if you have a Chatzitza, means that part of the Kli, whatever part of the Kli it is, cannot come in direct contact with the Maim of the mikvah, then the tefillah is a tefillah psula. Ah, you can tell me he's not makbid. Okay, if he's not makbid, from his perspective, let the batzek remain forevermore in the crevices of the kli. But if he's makbid, then it's going to be a chatzitza. The issue or the dimension of pachos mikazayis, or more than a kazayis, is totally irrelevant. Amar Rav Yehuda, you got to change the girsa of the Mishnah. Ema, perhaps we should suggest ule in yon tuma eino kein, that whereas chametz for Pesach depends upon the shear of kezayis or less than a kezayis, as far as tuma is concerned, on the contrary, that distinction is totally irrelevant. It makes no difference whether it's a kezayis or less. All it depends upon is kepeda. And this is very exciting, except for one problem. I mean, are we willing to change the girsa? Well, Abaye is not so excited about changing the girsa. Omale Abaye. Abaye turns to Rav Yehuda and he says, "Vaha v'chein le'inyan tuma k'tani." It doesn't say "ule inyan tuma eino kein," but rather it says "v'chein le'inyan tuma." The Mishnah is definitely transmitting some sort of an analogy between the laws of chatzitza and tuma, and the laws of beer and chametz. El Omar Abaye Hachi Ka Omar. This is what the Mishnah has in mind. V'chein le'inyan siruf tumah. Here we're going to turn to Daf Mem Vav. V'chein le'inyan siruf tumah b'Pesach. Now this is really fascinating, because what Abaye is postulating is that, you know what? Pesach is actually a factor that has to be considered in this equation of tuma and chatzitza. B'shar yemos hashana ika plugta. Plugta here means a distinction between whether he's makbid or not makbid, and the only relevance here is whether he's makbid or not. And if he's not makbid, that means it's rotza b'kiyumo, it's osu l'chazek, and it has the status of the areva, and it's not a chatzitza. And that distinction between whether he's makbid or not, which is now the only exclusive factor that determines whether it's a chatzitza, that's true for shar yemos hashana. However, and this is really, I'm always nispal from Abaye. I don't know, I'm a big Abaye fan. One day in my life, if I ever finish Shas, I want to do a research project on Abaye. I have a feeling that Abaye is the most conceptual of all the Amaroi. And he's not impressed by technicalities. You know, he climbs up to a different sphere. Anyway, he says, Hechidami, Kigon de ika pachos mikabetza ochlin vinagu behai botzek bepesach. Here's where there's an overlap between the chiyuv beer or the absence of the chiyuv beer in chavetz on Pesach and tuma vis-a-vis the halacha of chatzitza. He's got a piece that is less than a kibetza. And if it's less than a kibetza, then it's not metami tumas ochel. The shear of kibetza, the minimum shear for an ochel to be an ochel in tuma is a kibetza. But nagu, that ochel came in contact with high botzek, with chametz. Now again, in the case of chametz, to generate a shame chametz, it has to have a kezayis. So we have a kezayis of chametz that comes in contact with ochel, which is less than a kibetza. And here's the distinction between the 7 days of Pesach and the rest of the year. B'Pesach, di'isuro chashiv mitztarif. Since the isur chametz on Pesach, which means that a kezayis of chametz, even though it's less than a kibetza, is chashiv, it's chashiv that it generates a shem iser chametz. And now he's got a botek of a kezayis is worth in the areva, and it's not bottled to the Areva, because we said that once it has the Chashivas of a Kezayis, it's not bottled to the Areva. And that was the language, if you remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Im yesh Kezayis b'makom echad, chayav levayer. So in other words, if it's less than a Kezayis, then we can apply the principle of bittul, meaning it's bottled to the Areva, and it's not chametz. But if it's got a Kezayis worth, then it's chashiv, and it's not bottled to the Areva. Now, says Abai, mitztarif. We can now integrate the botzek in the areva to the ochlin that's less than a kezayis, and now, less than a kibetza, and we can be mashlim, now we can complete the shear of a kibetza, such that now the ochel will be makabel tuma. In a case where it was tar, and something tome comes in contact with it. So even though he's not makpid on this botzek that's in the areva, he has no interest in removing it from the areva, and therefore you and I would have said, well, in such a case, therefore it becomes bottled to the areva, and if it's bottled to the areva, then it's not mitami tumas ochlin. And moreover, it has less than a shear of kibetza, which is the minimal shear for tumas ochlin. Says Abai, name. That's not going to be the halacha. That botzek will be makabel tuma if it comes in contact with a sheretz, whatever it might be. And the reason for that is because it gains its chashivus even in the absence of a kibetza. And even though normally we would have said it's bottled to the areva, because it now became combined, so to speak, connected with a kezayis' worth of chametz. And that's what happens on Pesach. But b'shayimos hashana, where the kezayis does not generate any isur, and therefore doesn't generate any chashivus, is then b'kpei d'talya milsa. Then elchinami, you just have to ask one question. And that is this botzek botel to the areva, or is it not botel to the areva? Does he want to keep it there, or does he want to get rid of it? Then in makpid olav, then we're going to say mitztarev, and it could be mitame. Why? Because since he's makpid, therefore he wants to take it out and eat it. He doesn't want to waste this botzek in the sedek, because he doesn't have any interest in it staying there to be machazik the kli. But rotza b'kiyumo, if he wants to keep it in the kli, in the areva, harehi kareva, and then we're not going to be mitzarif it to the ochel that touches it, even though that ochel would have a shear of kezayis, but during Shayavos Hashanah, the shear of kezayis doesn't generate any chashivus because there's no shame iser that's chal the rest of the year. And therefore, since he's not makbid and he wants to be makayim in the kli, therefore, it's not mitztaref to the other ochel of a kezayis in order to be mashlin the shear of kibetza. Maskifla Rava, very typical dissenting view, or shall we say, objection to Abaye, mi ketoni mitztaref, v'chotzeis ketoni. Does the Mishnah say that if he's makpid olav, then it's mitztaref? Meaning, according to you, Abaye, the thrust of the halacha here is the halacha of tziruf, that since he is makpid, now we want to know whether it's mitami tumas ochlin. We're not talking about whether it's a chatzitza or not. Certainly if he's makpid, and he doesn't want it to be part of the areva, it is a chatzitza. And therefore the mayim of the mikveh did not come in contact directly with the kli, that's for sure. But you're telling me, Abaye, that the equation to chametz bePesach is not because of hilchos chatzitza, but rather because of hilchos tumas ochlin. Namely, do we integrate the batzek that's in the sedek of the areva together with other ochlin that come in contact with it in order to be mashlin the shear? And then the Mishnah's ikar chosim in a sefer, it should have said something about being mitzarev, and the language of the Mishnah would have been in makpid olav mitzarev. Meaning that since he is not being mevatel to the kli, he has all intention of removing it. And even though if a sheretz falls on it, it's less than a kibetza, but the answer is it came in contact with chametz bePesach, and that chametz had a shear of a kezayis. The shear of the kezayis gives chashivus because it generates the shame iser chametz, and now that chashivus is transferred, is superimposed on the less than a kibetza of ochel, which he's makben on, to create a kibetza's worth of ochel that now is roi lituma. And why? Because of the chametz that has a kezayis worth and generates a chiyuv of chametz during the course of Pesach. Elam Arava, Arava says, if you're going to be loyal to the language of the Mishnah, you can't change it in such a radical way and say that we're talking about tziruf to another piece of ochel for purposes of being mashlin the shear of the minimum shear of kibetza. Elam Arava lahalos tara liareva. So we go back to our original position that v'chein linyan tuma, the language of our Mishnah, is referring to being mitayer the areva, and you have these crevices in the areva that are filled in with batzek with chametz. And the Gemara now explains what Rava has in mind. Hechi dami, what's the case? Kigon de itame hay areva, right? So sheretz falls into this bowl, and the bowl now contracts tuma. Uboilat bule, now he wants to be matbil the kli, the areva, in a mikvah, to be mitayer the areva, is bePesach the isuro chashiv. He has a kezayis's worth of batzek in the areva that makes chametz into chametz as far as the isur chametz is concerned. That gives it chashivus, and now it's no longer batel to the areva. So we're talking about the overlap of the following factors. Number one, the areva was makabel tumah. And now number two, he wants to be tovelin in a mikveh to be mitired. Number three, he's got batzek that's caught in the crevices of the areva. And number four, it's Pesach. And now, although you might have said, well, he's not makbid on it. It therefore the batzek should not serve as a chatzitza. But that's only to remove chashivus, and now we're going to put back the element of chashivus based on the fact that it's Pesach and it's chametz and it's chayim in biur. Now you could understand this sugya on a very simple level, and you might say that since there's a kezayis's worth of batzek, even though he's willing to be mevatel and he's not makpid, but nevertheless he's got to get out that batzek and destroy it, or take one of these, we call it a brenner here in Israel, I don't know what they call it in English, but anyway, he's got to blowtorch it and burn out this batzek. So he would normally, if it wasn't Pesach and there wasn't a chametz and birachiv, he would be satisfied to leave the batzek in place and let it add something and enhance and strengthen the kli. But he's got to get rid of this chametz, this batzek. Why? Because it's Pesach. It's therefore chotzetz. The batzek is considered a chatzitza. And therefore, since it's Pesach, lo salkalei tvila, so the process of mikvah is not going to be metayer the kli, because he has a chatzitza. And what makes this batzek into a chatzitza? It's not the fact that he wants to get rid of the batzek. He wants to keep the batzek there. He wants it to become part and parcel of the areva, so it shouldn't be a chatzitza. But the answer is, because it's chametz with Pesach, and it's got a kezayis' worth, therefore it's chashiv. And once it gets a chashivus of the Isur Chametz, the mela becomes a chatzitza. It's amazing, because we have here an overlap of two different worlds of halacha. One is the world of macholas asuros, and the Torah says with regard to chametz on Pesach, you need beer, you got to get rid of it. And the other is the world of chatzitza. And you would have said there's no interplay between the two worlds. Then there is a very important interplay, and as a result of the Iser Chametz and the Chiv Biur, it becomes Choshev, and now it is a Chatzitza. Avol b'shar yimos hashana, if on the other hand there's no Shem Chametz with an Iser and a Chiv Biur, because we're talking during the rest of the year, the balance of the year, is Bekpeda Talya Milsa. Imakpid Olav is Chotzeitz V'yim Rotsa B'kiyumo Hareyu Kareva. If he's Makpid, he wants to get it out of there, he wants to remove the Batzek, then in such a case, it's a Chatzitza. And that would apply even if there's no Kezayis. So this is B'shar Yimos Hashana. Everything is reduced to one question only. Is he makbid? Is he not makbid? If it's Rotze B'kiyuma, he wants to leave the batzek there in place in the sedek, then Hareyu Kareva becomes part of the kli, and it's no longer a foreign element, and it's not a chatzitza. And this would apply in the case of makbid, even if it's less than a kezayis. Maskifla, Rav Papa, Rav, you think that you have progressed and you're closer to the language of the Mishnah than Abaye was. You rejected Abaye because it didn't say in the Mishnah, in Makpid Olav Mitztarev. So what do you have instead? You have Chein Le'ian Tara. Where does it say that in the Mishnah? Maskifla Rav Papa Mik Tani, does it say in our Mishnah of a Chein Linyan Tara, meaning Tara in a mikvah and Tefillah in a mikvah? Ha Vili Inyan Tumak Tani, the language of the Mishnah is V'chein Le'inyan Tumah. According to you, Abaye, Rava, it should have said V'chein Le'inyan Tara, Tara meaning the process of Tefillah. El Amar Av Papa, you know what the Mishnah means when it says V'chein Le'inyan Tuma, V'chein Le'inyan La Horid Tuma La Reva. In other words, a Dovra Metame came in contact with the Areva, and the issue now is whether or not the Areva was contaminated. Did that Sheretz convey Tuma to the Areva? Hechi Dami. Kigon did Noga Sheretz Bahai Batzek. Interesting. You have in the Kli an area, let's say the Kli is, I'm just making this up, you know, it's silver, but you have a wide area of Chametz. And that wide area is where the Sheretz fell. So the Sheretz came in direct contact with the Batzek, according to Rav Papa. And what's going to be the deal? Does the Areva receive Tuma? Here's what the deal is. If the Pesach, if this happened on Pesach, the Isur al Chashiv, that the Gezayis of Batek is Chashiv, and it's not bottled to the Areva, is then Chotzetz. Now, let's be careful here. The word chotzetz is not to be identified with chatzitz of rava, meaning as far as tefillah is concerned. The chotzetz here means separating the sheretz from the kli. Because as we said before, the sheretz only fell on the batzek. In such a case, chotzetz, there's a chatzitz here between the Areva and a Sheretz. V'lo nachtola tuma, and therefore the Sheretz does not convey tuma to the Kli. And this would apply even in a case of Eino Makbid Olav, meaning he's rotza b'kiyuma on the Areva, he wants it to stay in the Areva. It's not considered like the Areva itself. V'lo nachtola tuma. We view the Batek, despite the fact that he intends to leave it there and strengthen his kli, as a separate alien element. And we can now limit the tuma when the sheretz falls on the batzik to the batzik itself. That's only because this batzik has a kezias and it's Pesach. And now there's a certain element of separateness, you know, that this batzik is separate from the kli, even though he's not makpid on the batzik. And why is this chametz, this batzik, something special? Why does it get its own status, such that now it could be a chotzetz and prevent the tuma from penetrating into the kli? And the answer is because of the Easter chametz. There's a kezias of chametz. But b'shayimos hashana, where you're allowed to hold on to this batzik, the bikpeda talya means that the bittel of the batzik to the areva depends totally on his kpeda, is then in makpid olav chotzeitz. So during the rest of the year, the entire issue of whether or not this batzek is a separate entity and therefore prevents the tuma from being transmitted from the sheretz to the kli, that will depend upon kpeda. If he's makpin, then that's good news for the Jews. Again, it would be making it into a chatzitz and hilchos tefila, but as far as being a chatzitz and separating and wedging between the sheretz and the kli itself, it is a separation, and it is a chatzitza. And why? Because he's makpid olav. He wants to get it out of there. He wants to, take a some sort of a utensil and remove the batzik from the stockim. And because he's makpid, then it's a separate entity, as we said, and protects the kli. And again, that would be even if the batzek has less than a kezias. But he's makbid, and therefore it's not batal to the Ariv. But in rotza b'kiyumo, if he wants to keep the batzek in place there in the crevice, then harehu ka'areva, then it becomes part and parcel of the areva, and when the sheretz falls even on that part of the batzek, the entire areva is contaminated, is makabel tum. So I both say this leads us to the next Mishnah, which is here in the middle of Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, batzek ha'cheresh, the deaf piece of chametz. We'll try to figure out why do we expect a piece of chametz to have a power of hearing? And what's a deaf piece of chametz? Okay then, so thank you very much, and everyone should have a great day.